Hi, my name is Adam Fields with the Midnight27Studios.com, creator of the Prowl comic book series. You are listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your host, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 134. And this episode certainly is going to be an interesting one, but before I get into talking about my guest, I would like to just get one thing off my chest. I'd like to discuss one small item, some sad news that broke, I believe, about 2 days ago. The great Canadian actor John Dunsworth passed away at the age of 71 Monday evening. And for those of you who may not know John Dunsworth, he was Mr. Leahy in the television series Trailer Park Boys. And being a big fan of that TV show and being a big fan of the Trailer Park Boys podcast, as they call it, I really was shocked by the news. Also, too, the fact that he was only 71 years old, that's not old, man. I mean, that really isn't. But I was still shocked by it, and I just really kind of felt a little bit sad because it was shocking news, as I said. And, you know, Mr. Leahy was the perfect foil for Ricky, Julian, and Bubbles. So I just want to say to the friends and the family of John Dunsworth, I'll keep you in my thoughts, and rest in power, man. Rest in power. All right, let's talk about my guest that's coming on, episode number 134. I have a young lady by the name of Katie Kinlock who is coming on, and she is a Marilyn Monroe lookalike. That's right. She's from Bowling Green, Ohio, and she has created a business for herself, modeling and attending various different events and entertaining people as Marilyn Monroe. And as you're going to hear, she's a huge fan of Marilyn Monroe. And there's a lot of, like, commonalities between her life and the life that Miss Monroe led herself. And so it's a fascinating interview. I thank Katie so very much for jumping on Skype and sitting down and talking with me. I will say there's a couple of little hiccups with the technology there. You know how it goes with Skype. Sometimes it wants to be very, very picky and very finicky. But overall, I think the quality turned out pretty well. So with that being said, I want to just let you know about who's bringing you this great podcast. And today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. You get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/PVDcast. Audible has over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. For you, the listeners of the PVD Cast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a 30-day free trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. I mean, we're talking about Marilyn Monroe. Maybe you want to check out American Legends, The Life of Marilyn Monroe, written by Charles River Editors. That might be a choice for you. But whatever you're interested in, Audible has a book for you. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be Hollywood movies. It doesn't have to be movie stars. It doesn't have to be entertainers, icons of pop culture. It could be anything. I guarantee you that Audible has a book. All you got to do is just search their wonderful website. And once again, to download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/PVDcast. Again, that's audibletrial.com/PVDcast to get your hands on a free audiobook. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back with Katie Kinlock. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm joined here on the PVD Cast with Katie Kinlock. Katie, how are you this afternoon?
I am wonderful. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Now, you are a Marilyn Monroe lookalike, as you mentioned on your website, MarilynPerforms.com. So, I'm going to ask the question that I'm sure many of our listeners are curious about. Why Marilyn?
You know, it kind of, I like to say that it fell into my lap. So I lived in Manhattan for 2 years. I studied art. Specifically, I studied photography and illustration. And when I studied photography, many of my classmates and myself would model for each other in a pinch just to get projects done. And I had classmates tell me, oh, well, you know, you don't even have to be directed when you model and things like that. And so I took that as a great compliment. But other than that, once I decided to lighten my hair to a platinum blonde, everybody started to call me Marilyn. And I never really took it too seriously. I did admire her, but I didn't think of it as a professional avenue until I moved home to Bowling Green, Ohio in 2014. That's when I met somebody that was very influential on making me end up deciding to buy a business license to perform professionally. And so I got very excited and I started ordering custom costumes and things to that effect. And it's given me many opportunities that I wouldn't have otherwise had. And if you would have told me 5 years ago that I'd be doing this, I probably would have thought you were joking. I really did not think that I'd be doing this, but I'm very glad that this is my life now.
So you said that you admire Marilyn. What is the qualities that you admire most about that icon in American culture and American cinema and just, you know, overall pop culture period? What are some of those qualities that you admired most about Marilyn Monroe?
Well, I thought, you know, once I investigated her life, I looked into it more, I could relate to not only certain aspects of her life, but the way that she dealt with these certain aspects. So I felt this personal connection beside the physical aspect of it, which I think that, you know, it's pretty apparent to a lot of people that are Marilyn fans that her name is kind of, and her legacy is kind of skewed. It's really manipulated, and people have this perception of Marilyn that she was just this sex symbol and that she would sleep around and do all this irresponsible stuff and was careless and things like that, which I think Marilyn fans would highly disagree with that just because they understand, you know, the things that she had gone through and how emotional the person was and things like that. So besides, you know, the physical resemblance, it was more so I can really identify with the type of person she was more so than anybody I've ever met or have read about in my life.
Well, and I believe that, you know, a lot of people have some misconceptions about her, and I think you nailed it with a few of those. You know, I think that that's a common issue, and I don't think it's just, maybe you can disagree with me or agree with me. I think that a lot of celebrities that happens to, that there are a lot of misconceptions because of the fact that they're human beings like everybody else.
Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, publications with false rumors and things like that, and so their life is essentially exposed through, you know, nowadays websites and things like that. But back in the day, you know, you had magazines that would spread rumors and just things like that. And so, you know, when your life is so out in the open, it's so vulnerable and people can pick at it as they please without even caring to learn whether it's true or not. But yeah, I think she's a very misunderstood person, and you know, I don't think she'd be very happy with the way her image is portrayed nowadays, because she had said that she would never want to be a commodity, and here you see her name plastered on everything from like soap bottles to bras, and you know, they trademarked her name, and so she was a person, but her name is a trademark, and so essentially she's just, you know, being sold the masses because that's what people want. So I definitely think that people create an image in their head of what she was like without even caring to know what she truly was like. And because she was such a, you know, carefully watched celebrity and the most photographed celebrity to this day, there's a lot of information available about her. I mean, it's there for anybody's, you know, you know, if anybody wanted to take a peek and learn more, it's always available, but people simply don't want to dig that deep, and they just take it, you know, skin deep and see her as a sex queen, which she really didn't care about too much. They just kind of made her that. The studio made her into something that they wanted, and it's something she just went along with. So,
you know what?
I'll have a lot of people say, like, oh, she wasn't a very good actress. She's just a dumb blonde. And when people say that, it just reaffirms to me that she was a good actress, because she really wasn't a dumb blonde. She was blonde, but not dumb. So,
sure.
She was really just playing a part and playing a character, and, you know, it turned into her life and her legacy, and she had a lot of frustrations with that, and I have a lot of frustrations, and I almost say, like, in the 3 years that I've been doing this, that I kind of get a taste of what she felt, the way people treat her, the preconceptions that people would have prior to even meeting her, if they ever got the chance. So people put those same, you know, judgments even before they get to know me. They apply it to me just because I resemble her. So I kind of look at it, even though this is how I dress every day, it is my identity to an extent. But I do feel like, in a sense, it's kind of like an experiment, this ongoing daily experiment where people just... You know, I interact with people and they treat me a certain way because I look a certain way, and it's been very interesting. So, but I've gotten plenty of amazing opportunities to meet amazing people and go amazing places, and it's all because of her, and I owe so much to her, and the least I can do is protect her legacy and preserve it and inform people and educate people if they're willing to learn more about her. And I do that all the time. So people have questions such as, you know, was that really true or did she really do that? And I'm more than happy to explain, you know, this or that, whatever I can help with.
So. Well, you know, one of the things that you mentioned was this idea of the marketing. And with that, you know, I think that I've seen, as I've been out and about, there seems to be a lot of Marilyn Monroe images on T-shirts and whatnot. And so I just wanted to get, and I think you kind of touched on it, your opinion on those, the branding of her.
I'm not too happy about it, just because I know that's not really something she would want. And when I say that, I mean that, you know, people will Photoshop her face onto bodies that have, like, tattoos and guns and, you know, distort her image, and that's not the way she wanted to be seen, and she obviously has no say in it, and she's passed away. But even more so, there is a brand, and it's simply titled Marilyn Monroe, and it's a trademark brand now, and they will distribute clothing items and things to that effect, and, you know, she has no say in that either. So I think it's a lot, you know, very disrespectful to continue doing things without consent or permission if you're using her name. You know, you could say simply like Marilyn Monroe inspired or anything like that, but they simply apply her name as though she would have approved of it, even though she doesn't even know what's going on because she's passed away. So,
do you know offhand who maybe has the rights to her name?
That I'm not 100% sure about. I don't know the details of it. I know that the company called Sexy Hair, they did something where they bought the rights to certain images that Milton Green had shot of her in. It was a red dress and a black backdrop, and it's very tricky because there are a lot of images of her that are offered up at auctions and things like that, and so there's a lot that, you know, people can purchase and get rights to, and I don't really know all of them, but regardless, I think the concept alone is pretty disrespectful.
Yeah.
in that regard.
I just was curious as to, because I know she did not have any children, just wondered who, because oftentimes with performers, you know, the rights to their material falls to the family, and I that would be something interesting to look up, actually, folks, so there you go. Well, a little homework assignment for the listeners out there. Look it up and see if you can find out, let us know. All right?
Sister named Bernice Baker, and so she assisted in ways she could. I know that she, when Marilyn did pass in 1962, she was trying to find an outfit that she wanted her sister to be buried in. So I know that she was involved to some extent in Marilyn's life, but I'm not quite sure after death how protective she was, you know, with her reputation and things like that.
Yeah.
So that's something that, you know, would be interesting to understand, like who did buy the copyright to her name and trademarked it and things like that. But I do not know that off the top of my head.
So you describe yourself as having a vintage lifestyle. Can you maybe explain what that means to the listeners at home? What is a vintage lifestyle?
So when I say that, most everything I own, other than maybe electronics and things like that, is vintage. So I live in a 1964 mid-century modern house in the middle of a cornfield out in the country, and I've decorated it very appropriately. I have a ton of mid-century modern either just furniture, or I'm also a visual artist, so I create a lot of artwork that's mid-century modern inspired as well. So I kind of live with, you know, I cook with a 1960 wok, electric wok, and I have bowls that are wooden from the 60s. And I just kind of live my life like that. I enjoy the aesthetic of it. I enjoy everything about, you know, design back in the day. So I'm a very visual person, and it's something that just feels right to incorporate in my life.
That's pretty cool. So if I may ask, where do you find some of your vintage furniture at? I imagine that that's got to be a real task at times to maybe say, I want to get a new desk chair. Like, is it easier than maybe I think it is?
You know, where I live, we have an abundance of vintage, pretty much everything. And so I'll go to different types of thrift stores and antique malls. And most of the time I find my stuff at thrift stores just because it's affordable. And it's a lot of the same stuff that you would find in an antique mall, which is a lot cheaper than just shopping there. But I tend to collect as I go. I don't really like have an epiphany and say, like, oh, I need this piece of furniture right now, and, you know, in a rush to find it. So I just kind of collect things as I go, and when I see it and it's only $3, and I say to myself, well, you don't need two of those, but, you know, I can't just leave it here anyhow. So kind of buy it anyhow. But yeah, I wear a lot of vintage clothes too, which that's something that you have to have an eye for when you do shop thrift stores and stuff, because even a lot of vintage stores will say that they have vintage clothes, and I can tell from the tag or from the fabric or whatever that it's not true. So it's just something that you kind of learn as you go and just pick up on it.
So there's a lot of maybe reproduction type of clothing when it comes to the vintage style?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I used to be a purist, so if it wasn't vintage, I wasn't wearing it. But it just got to be so expensive and very practical. And once I graduated college and paying all my bills, living on my own, it just wasn't the most practical thing. But I will, you know, obviously buy what I can. And then there are a lot of very classic clothes at thrift stores, but maybe not, they're not old, but they do look, you know, period appropriate. So
okay.
I do what I can, but my main focus with my money goes towards my costumes now, just because that's very important to me, that I, you know, continue to have my business grow, and I'm a perfectionist, so everything has to be exactly the way the costumes were, and I've searched high and low, and even seamstresses that do reproduction Marilyn costumes, if the shade isn't right or whatever, I'm very nitpicky. I say, I only want this costume if you can get the right fabric, if you can do this or that. And, so I'm very, very particular about the way I represent her.
Mm-hmm. You perform many of her songs at the many appearances that you do, and we'll talk about, you know, some upcoming appearances that you'll be doing here. But when you perform, what are your favorite songs to perform that Marilyn did back in the day?
You know, there's a couple, but I would have to say the most popular is the Happy Birthday song. I think most of the kids are people that are requesting that I do a singing telegram for their father, their mother, or their husband. I always think that's very interesting when the wife hires me to sing his birthday for their husband. They just more so want to embarrass their husband more than anything else, but a big hit also is Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend. There's a couple obscure ones that I like to do that aren't either as well known or is not as appropriate for certain events. I know a lot of people want me to dress down or be less risque with my costumes because audience. And then there are some people that they say, oh, you know, they know what Marilyn's about. They remember what she was known for, so they have no problem with me wearing certain things or stuff like that. But I really like singing her song, Lazy. I don't know how many people are aware of that song, but it's a slower song, and it's not as requested. But I did do a show in Lansing, Michigan, and you know, they had me do a couple songs, and I was probably the only girl that didn't take her clothes off at this burlesque show. I just think. But yeah, I had a lot of very unique experiences. So I'd have to say, earlier this year, back in April, I was contacted by a German dressmaker, and she's very, very talented, and she asked me to participate in Viva Las Vegas Rockabilly Weekend. They have a fashion show, and so I flew out to Vegas in April, and she was very sweet. She said, she kind of pulled me aside, and she said, you're the star of my show. You know, it just made me feel, you know, pretty good about, you know, just being able to do these things in such a quick amount of time. I mean, it's only been 3 years, but I've had a lot of support and a lot of chances to meet amazing people and things like that. So,
well,
it's taken me places for sure, and it's just an amazing thing all around.
I was going to ask that you have made lots of public appearances for a variety of different things, vintage car shows, and for other celebrations and whatnot. So what might be your favorite in the 3 years that you've been doing this? What was your favorite public appearance that you made?
You know, I would have to say, if I had to pick just one, probably the gig I was just talking about in Vegas, just because Vegas is a very special city to me. I absolutely love that city, and it was just amazing to be able to go out there and do what I do, and, you know, have this group of people that kind of gets each other because they're all into that vintage theme and things like that. So it was quite an amazing experience, and a lot of well-known pinup and burlesque queens, you know, were on that same stage either with me or later that night, and it just kind of was an amazing feeling to be included in such a grand event. But, you know, there are other ones that stick in my head that maybe weren't so public, but personal events where I would bring either the person that hired me to tears or the person I was singing to tears. And that just touched me in a way that, you know, for me, my business is not really about the money. It's more like I get so much satisfaction out of making people happy and, you know, maybe temporarily living this fantasy for them, you know, something that they never got to experience, but in the moment they do. So it's an amazing feeling to make people so happy to the point that they have tears of joy. And that to me is just worth everything. The most important thing.
Sure. And, you know, it's not that, you know, you're a giant corporation either. You know, you're an independent person doing your independent endeavors. And, you know, that's one of the reasons that I wanted you to come on here to the PVD cast. Because likewise, you know, we like entertaining people and we're independent minded and independent spirit. And that's excellent.
I'm a very obedient person. So I don't take direction and rules too well. Like I said, I'm a perfectionist, and I wouldn't deal with an agent or anything that would just throw me into anything just for money. To me, it's very special, and it's very sacred to have this business, and so therefore I'm very protective of it. And I do my best to not only look like her, but to represent her in a respectful way, which there are plenty of Marilyn lookalikes, and I'm sure there are some that feel the same way as me, but there's not nearly enough that has that same respect for her. More so it's like a costume for most impersonators, I feel like. But for me, it's more like I'm paying homage to her life, her legacy. And because she can't speak for herself, I feel comfortable, even though I have never met her, I feel comfortable with as much as I know about her to defend her if I ever need to. So.
Have you had any weird fan interactions?
Oh, yes. Yes. more than I can count.
Okay.
It's, like I said, because I dress like this on a daily basis, you know, I work at a casino as well. And I tell you what, most of my managers don't even know my name. They just call me Marilyn. All my coworkers call me Marilyn. All my customers call me Marilyn. But I've had a lot of people, I think the one that really sticks out to me that guys will say a lot to me is, ooh, can I be your JFK?
Oh.
I just, you know, cheesy things like that. And I've just gotten a lot of weird messages, but I feel like that's not really unusual for any woman, but especially for people that specialize in pinup and burlesque and things like that, where it's kind of more sexualized.
Yes.
So it's kind of expected, but it's unfortunate at the same time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, to answer your question, I've had many, many, many strange messages and comments and requests and things like that. So,
couple more real quick questions here. I'm a big film buff. I love movies, but I will be 100% honest. I'm kind of ignorant of the catalog of Marilyn Monroe. So if I were to watch a Marilyn film, which one do you suggest I start with?
Well, my personal favorite movie of all time, which just so happens to be a Marilyn film, is Some Like It Hot. Very funny movie. It's about two men that witness the St. Valentine's Massacre and escape on a train to Florida with an all-girls band, and so they're dressed in drag. And it was so daring at the time that they actually banned it from being shown in Kentucky. But the director was Billy Wilder, and he's a very smart director, and it's just considered one of the greatest comedies of all time. It's a classic. But there's a lot of movies that she you know, gets overlooked, like Don't Bother to Knock was a very dramatic film early on in her career that not a lot of people talk about because they only really recognize her for the dumb blonde persona movies, but she's a babysitter that's troubled and doesn't really know how to handle her situation at this hotel room. And just a very dramatic movie, suspenseful, and she did a really great job acting in it. But I would recommend those two movies especially, but I enjoy most of her movies. I think I can't really think of one that I didn't, you know, think was really that great. But I know that the first movie that I watched that was Marilyn was Niagara, which she played a bad character in that movie, but she did an excellent job. I felt like in all of her films, she portrayed her characters in the way that she was told, and she was obviously she was a perfectionist as well, but she was a very nervous actress, and so she would flub her lines a lot and then get discouraged or wouldn't want to go on to set. You know, they'd have to drag her onto the set because she was just so nervous and things like that. But once you see the movies, it's just it just fits very perfectly. The character works really well with all of the movies, in my opinion.
Well, I am I'm a big fan of Billy Wilder, so Some Like It Hot it is.
Okay. You should definitely check it out.
Yes.
I recommend it.
Okay, last question here before we talk about where you're going to be at here with some public appearances. If you could meet Marilyn Monroe, what would you say to her?
Probably the first thing I'd say to her is thank you for everything, just because I owe a lot to her, just because of, you know, all of the opportunities and things like that. But I'd probably also say I'm so sorry that you're so misunderstood. And just from, you know, performing as her for 3 years, like I said earlier, you kind of get a taste of what she experienced and this misunderstood. It's very, very frustrating the way people see you and the way you know you are, and people don't really try too hard to dig deeper than the surface, and they just kind of see you as a sex object and call it a day and don't care to know more. So I can see where she would be very frustrated in her life, since sex wasn't that important to her. But yeah, I'd probably say those two things in that order. I'd say thank you and I'm so sorry, just because she had a hard life, and you know, up until she died, her life, it always just seemed like life was throwing her a curveball. And they did, somebody did ask her in an interview one time if she was happy, and she kind of thought of happiness as not a real concept. Like, she thought, well, who could possibly be happy? Happy is not really a state of being, it just kind of comes in little bursts. And so she never even really believed in the idea that happiness could be a continuous feeling. But yeah, that's definitely what I would probably say to her if I ever had the chance to meet her, which doesn't seem very likely, but who knows? Never know.
So where will you be in the next few weeks? Do you have some public appearances and some gigs that you would like to talk about?
I know that I have a gig coming up in December. It's a private kind of almost like a Christmas get-together, so an annual benefit for a company. And I just thought it was very cute because I always ask whoever is hiring me, you know, what would you like me to wear? You know, what type of audience is it? Would they be offended if I wore certain things? And so she told me it's going to be senior citizens. And I was like, okay, so did you want me to be kind of modest? And she said, oh no, they know what Marilyn's about. You wear what you need to wear. And so I just thought that was really cute. And so that's a really special gig I'm looking forward to, just because they're not only just going to have me perform a couple songs, they really want me to talk about her life, kind of like what I'm doing right now, and do a Q&A. So it's more of like an educational, informative gig, which is something I've never done, which I'm looking forward to. But I should be getting more requests coming up for Christmas time, just because that's when a lot of people do hold like holiday get-togethers and things like that. And so that's usually a busier time, and then the summertime is busier as well. I've had plans to move out to Vegas for 2 years now, and it never just seems to work out for whatever reason, but eventually, I anticipate moving out to Vegas and seeing where I can pursue my business out there. But like I said, I'm very protective about my business, and would not be just quick to sign a contract of any kind. And so I had to be very precarious about any decision I would make once I do move out there. But I couldn't tell you a date. I know that I'm going to be in Ohio for at least 7 more months, but I don't know. And, you know, after 7 months comes up, exactly if I'm going out there or not, but I'm not really in a rush. I don't mind Ohio, and there's quite a few opportunities here anyhow, so I'm comfortable wherever I end up staying.
Well, where can fans, where can listeners check in on you online to find out if you're sticking around Ohio or if you're going to Vegas or where you're going to be or whatnot, if they'd like to catch you? Where would be a great place on the internet where folks can find out that info?
I do have social media, so I do have a business page on Facebook. It's called Maryland Performs. You mentioned earlier I have a website, Maryland Performs. I also have an email address, marylandperforms@gmail.com. But my personal Facebook, where I think I'm most active on with updates and things like that, is my first and last name. So it's Katie Kinlock, K-A-I-T-Y, last name K-I-N-L-O-C-H. So that's where you can find me. I also have an Instagram under that name, as well as a business page under Maryland Performs on Instagram. But those are the only platforms I'm on. I'm not very active on Twitter or things like that. So those would definitely be the places that I would recommend if you wanted to learn more about my life and updates like that.
Well, there you go. Well, with that being said, Katie, we're getting up to about a half hour there. So is there anything else you'd like to say real quick?
I just want to say thank you so much for reaching out to me. It was a real pleasure talking with you, and hopefully I can be a guest on your podcast sometime in the future and catch up and see where things go from there.
You got it. Most definitely. Most definitely. We'll make that happen. So with that, Katie, thank you for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of that break, I'll be back to wrap up this episode. So if you will, please stick around. Well, there you go, folks. My conversation with Miss Katie Kinlock, talking about her very interesting career as a Marilyn Monroe lookalike. And, you know, I appreciate the passion that Katie brings to her business and that independent spirit. And that's what we're all about here at the PVD Cast, is highlighting that independent spirit that gets things done. You know, I'm not going to get on my soapbox, as I've done in previous episodes, and just continue to, you know, rant and rave about how independent ideas, that is where the greatest ideas come from. Look, I said I wasn't going to, and now I am ranting. I'm on my soapbox. All right, I'm going to get off the soapbox here because I want to wrap up this episode, and I want to let you know where you can get in touch with me. Twitter's a great place to find me, at PVDMVP. You can shoot me an email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can even leave me a message on the Facebook page of the PVDcast, and that, of course, is facebook.com/PVDcast. Hey, don't forget that you can get this great podcast 7 different ways. Obviously, the easiest is PVDcast.com, the online home of yours truly. But it's also available through iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, Pod Paradise, and the Echo Network. So just choose whatever avenue is best for you. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. So I will chat at each and every one of you later. And until then, stay righteous and stay independent.